Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. 43. Tasya ravindamaya nasya padara vinda. Kinjal kamishra tulasi makaranda vayuhu. Antaranga taksva vivarena chakara tesham. Sankshobha makshara jusham apichitta tanvoho. Tambo tasya ravinda nayanasya parara vinda kinjal kamishva tulasi makaranda vayu antargata swavivarena chakara tesham samshubham akshara jusham api chitta tamroho tasya of him charana aravindasya apchaich ara aravinda nayanasya of the lotus eyed Lord, para aravinda of the lotus feet, kinjalka with the toes. Hey, kinjalka is a filament of a. Okay, and there are toes, figurative toes. The lotus is a foot. So the filaments become toes. Mishra. Mixed. Tulasi. The tulasi leaves. Makaranda. Fragrance. Vayuhu. Breeze. Antatata. Centered. Entered within. Swavivarena, through their nostrils, chakara, made, tesham, of the kumaras, sankshobham, agitation for change, akshara jusham, attached to impersonal Brahman realization. Api, even though, chitta tanvoho, in both mind and body. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. One second. We're going to do verse 45 tonight. Two verses, skipping over. Translation, when the breeze carrying the aroma of tulasi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead entered the nostrils of those sages, they experienced a change both in body and in mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. Purport, it appears from this verse that the four Kumaras were impersonalists or protagonists of the philosophy of monism, becoming one with the Lord. But as soon as they saw the Lord's features, their minds changed. In other words, the impersonalist who feel transcendental pleasure in striving to become one with the Lord is defeated when he sees the beautiful transcendental features of the Lord. Because of the fragrance of his lotus feet, carried by the air and mixed with the aroma of tulasi, their minds changed. Instead of becoming one with the Supreme Lord, they thought it wise to be devotees. Becoming a servant tour of the lotus feet of the Lord is better
than becoming one with the Lord.
These four Kumaras are the example of Gyanis,
who they were considered Kanishta Adhikaris. Adhikari means candidate. So there are, as Rupa Goswami discusses in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are the three levels of candidates according to the level of their knowledge and of their faith. That it's easier for the first class candidate to make good progress in devotional service. He's a better risk. But the Kanishta Bhaktas also are glorified by Krishna in the Gita. Tadur Vidabha Jamte Mam. Four kinds of Kanishta Bhaktas approach me also, materialists. The person in distress, the person who has financial need, the person who is curious, and the person who is wise, who is learned. So the Kumaras are the example of Kanishta Bhaktas who were learned. They were Gyanis. They were self-realized, impersonalists. But as we know, they were also Gyanamishra Bhaktas. They were not hardcore impersonalists with no devotion. Their devotion, their Gyana was strongly mixed with devotion. It's just a matter of terminology. If there's more than 50% of devotion, then it's called Karma or Gyana Mishra Bhakti. So the Kumaras are prototype, successful impersonalists.
Label 3,
just make a new one. Make an empty one and copy that first label into all the spots.
Label 0 and make it emphasis like there.
But copy like the first label. Do it. Just make it 7162 labels. So, one who is not envious, the Brahmavadis who are not envious, will be attracted to Krishna when they. Yes?
Does the Srimad Bhagavatam repeat the words have to be in bold?
No, they should not be in bold. Copy the first label. So, I'm sorry. Brahmavadis who are not envious, they can be candidates for devotional service if they show some interest in it. The interest will come by coming into the association of Vaishnavas, by getting the blessings of the Vaishnavas. Atapi te deva padab jayadvaya prasada lesha anugrihita evahi. One can understand the glories of Krishna, of Krishna's lotus feet. Just like the Kumaras are being attracted to his feet, not to his face. The face they'll approach later. They're starting from the feet, out of respect. Just the smell of his feet. Most people do not attract others by the smell of their feet. This is not the normal way of attraction. We decorate our faces and put perfume on other parts of our body, but there's not much hope of attracting people with the smell of our feet, normally. But this is what Narayan is doing, is accomplished here. Only one who has gotten at least a drop of your mercy can be so attracted. This is Janati Tattvam, can understand the truth of the Supreme Lord. But to understand the Supreme Personality means to be attracted to Him. If you're not attracted to Him, you won't understand a thing about Him. You can read the whole Bhagavad Gita, you can read all 18 Puranas, and all the Upanishads, and study the Vedanta Sutra for 5,000 years, and you won't understand anything about the Supreme Person if you're not attracted to Him. You only know Krishna by being attracted. So, and you can only become attracted by His mercy, Nachanyan ekopi chiram vichinvan. You can think about him, try to meditate on him in some form or other for a long time. But without his grace, his pleasure, his blessings, and that's dispensed through his devotees. Some get to meet Lord Narayan in person and get his blessings directly. A few, like the Kumaras, like Arjuna, got the instructions directly from Govinda. But most of us have to get through Parampara from his devotees. That's the normal procedure anyway, rather than to impose ourselves on Krishna directly, to get his mercy through his devotees is the standard normal procedure. It's also described by Sutta Goswami. Shushusho Shradadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirta Nishevanat. For someone who is faithful and who's eager to hear and serve, he can develop the taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. This is how we normally become attracted to him. More through the sound mode, hearing mode, than the seeing mode. The materialists come to the temple to see the Lord. They bow down. They find some small change out of their pocket and make an offering. Now in India, these small coins are only useful for throwing at the deities. Even beggars won't accept them. 10 pice, 20 pice, no one will accept. The deity has to accept. He has no choice. So some small offering is made. You come and you bow down and you go away. And you get your darshana. But that is not the standard devotional, that's not the sadhana. The sadhana for actual Shuddha Bhakti is to hear. To hear the glories of the Lord. To hear the Bhagavad Gita. To hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Then you establish properly your contact, your relationship with the Lord. Materialists cannot hear. They just cannot, they're not attracted to hear. They don't want to hear it. They'll walk into the temple while the Bhagavatam class is going on. Everyone is sitting quietly, attentively, 100 devotees. And they'll act as if nothing's going on. It's just they're there to take their darshan and they can make a ruckus and walk right in front of everybody and ignore that there's a class going on and walk right out because they don't hear. They cannot even perceive that something's going on the sound level platform. So this getting this taste for hearing is a rare privilege. It's given for someone who wants to hear, who wants to be a servant, and who has some faith, some conviction that this is the most valuable thing. And then one other criterion, Seva Mahat Sevaya. You have to serve the devotees and get their blessings. Then Krishna will accept you. Then Krishna will give the taste for hearing and chanting about him. So the Kumaras have got it. They are approved devotees. They are recognized by the Vaishnavas. They have the blessings of the Vaishnavas. Now they're just reaping the fruits of their devotional practice. They were practicing Jnana Mishra Bhakti, not the standard Shuddha Bhakti process that we follow. But even by that process of Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, they became successful. It's not that they walked into Vaikuntha completely unprepared, having never done any form of devotional service, and just happened to bump into Narayana. No, they were prepared. They had practiced. They had done their sadhana for a long time. But it was Mishra sadhana. It was sadhana aimed at liberation, based mainly on meditation. But it worked. They got the darshana of Narayana. They got to smell his feet, and they're going to hear his nectarian words, which is the most important thing. That's their success. You did it, thank you. Save it under a new name? Just call it label, period, dot. Stop. Hare Krishna. So, that's it. Even if you're an impersonalist. Akama sarva karma va. Moksha karma udharadi. Tivena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Here's the formula for success. No matter what you are, you have no desires because you're a pure devotee, maybe, or you're full of desires because you're a materialist, or you're a neophyte devotee who hasn't gotten rid of his desires yet, or moksha kama, or you're an impersonalist and you want moksha. In either case, any case, you should enthusiastically engage in devotional service, bhakti yogina, not just by some sentiment, but by the actual regulated, authorized process, bhakti yoga. Not as bhakti, Prabhupada did not like to translate, it's just devotion. Prabhupada's preference was to always translate it as devotional service, not just feel something, but do something. By that, doing the right things, following the right things, and thinking, understanding rightly, orthodoxy and orthopraxy, acting right and thinking right. By that, we become fit, we become, the attraction to Krishna will gradually arise in our hearts. Four Kumaras are successful by their process. We can't expect in Kali Yuga, being who we are, that we can follow that same process. We have a different procedure that's prescribed for us, and it's very active devotional service. We are creatures in the modes of ignorance and passion, so we're being engaged suitably, but in such a way that we'll be lifted up to the same perfection of being actually attracted to Krishna. Alright, so any questions or comments? Yeah.
Orthodoxy means thinking properly.
Yeah, doxis means opinion. Plato was proposing that reality is on the level of ideas, idea. That doesn't just mean thoughts in your head. Because he distinguished between idea and doxis. Ideas are the reality. You know, where they are. He wasn't clear about where they are. They're in the mind of God. He had no concept of God. And where these, the reality, like every chair is just a copy of the prototype chair. But where that prototype is, whether there's a world of ideas, or whether it's just sort of nowhere in particular, Plato couldn't say. And then the idea we have in our head of a chair, that's just doxis, opinion. It's not reality. It's always distorted. It's a copy of reality, but always a distorted copy. That's the ideas that people have in their heads. But that's called doxis, opinion, thought. So that's doxis means thought. Orthodoxy, ortho means straight. Like an ortho, what do you call a right angle? Orthogon is square, is a rectangle. Yeah. Ortho means right, 90 degrees. So when you're straight on, you know, deviate, you just go 90 degrees straight angle or other right angle. Just like the soldiers are marching bare right, bare left, and they're marching exactly 90 degrees this way, 90 degrees that way. That's straight. So when you're straight, when your thought is straight and doesn't go off in crooked angles, that's orthodoxy. And praxis means behavior, practice or activity. When what you do is straight, well, you don't bounce off in strange angles. That's orthopraxy. So we're not, we shouldn't be fanatics about rules and regulations, but actually our sadhana is meant to, for us to come up to the standard of behaving and thinking right, appropriately, to attract Krishna and become attracted to Krishna. Yeah, they're named because they're thinking about themselves. We're thinking the right thing, and everybody else is thinking the wrong thing. Heretic is the opposite of orthodox. Deviant thought, deviant behavior. Yeah. Anything else? Okay, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.